Well, good afternoon, everyone. We have a good turnout in spite of the snow. I'm glad you came here to hear God's words today. You know, there are many problems in our society today. One problem that is growing today is that many individuals don't feel adequate about themselves. They have a poor attitude about themselves, that they have no worth or value. Now, this is true of many teens today. Many teens look into the mirror and are bitterly disappointed in what they see. At this age, some girls see themselves as fat and unworthy. So they go on the far end of the weight spectrum and they become anorexic. Other teen and young adults will go to the opposite end of the weight spectrum and become obese because food is comforting to them for those who may have trouble with self-worth. Inferiority feelings begin at an early age, 3-4 years old. People will ask themselves, who am I? Will I be accepted by others? Will people laugh at me? Does anyone love me? Now, each time a child makes a mistake, each time a child is not involved in a party that someone gives, and each time a child is picked on by others, adds to that person's self-doubts, loneliness, and a lack of self-worth. Yet, every stage in life has its own threats to self-worth. Adults in their senior years are acutely aware of the changes that are happening in their bodies. The wrinkles, tiredness, aches and pains, all are a sign of, you know, they can't do things like they used to. Some of them will begin to worry that they are becoming a burden to the ones that they love, and self-doubt creeps in. I would like to take the remaining time to give some answers on how we can increase our self-worth. The core issue here is understanding your worth to God. Let's turn in our Bibles to 2 Kings 22, and we'll begin in verse 1. So 2 Kings 22, verse 1, we'll read this. Josiah was 8 years old when he became king, and he reigned 31 years in Jerusalem. Now, King Josiah, in his 18th year as a king, a very remarkable thing happened to him. Now, let's drop down to verse 9, and we'll read this. Verse 8. Then Hilkiah the priest said to Shaphan the scribe, I have found the book of the law in the house of the Lord. So in the temple of God was this lost book. And we know it today as the first five books in our Bible. The scribe Shaphan then reads it to King Josiah. And in verse 11, we read what King Josiah does. Now it happened, when the king heard the words of the book of the law, that he tore his clothes. Now it was a custom of that time and area that one would tear their clothes in great grief. For see, King Josiah learned that there was great wrath of the Lord that would happen to the people of Israel. Now, King Josiah begins a massive spiritual reform in the land. And all of chapter 23 is about this reform of removing idolatrous places and ideas from the society of that time. So let's go down to 2 Kings 23 and begin in verse 21. Then the king commanded all the people, saying, keep the Passover to your Lord, your God, as it is written in this book of the covenant. Such a Passover had never been held since the days of judges who judged Israel, nor in the days of the kings of Israel and the king of Judah. Now, I bring up this story about King Josiah because it brings out a point that when people forsake God, they don't read God's word, they resort to adultery, and wickedness fills the land. It had gotten so bad before King Josiah that people had even stopped keeping the Passover. Now, in our modern age, this country and the world has seen an increase of people forsaking God. Many people today have forgotten the words of God because they have stopped reading and studying their Bibles. And like ancient Israel, when people do that, there is an increase of wickedness in the land. People will turn to whatever is available in society to fill the emptiness in their lives, because that spot is empty where God had been. And that is exactly what our enemy, Satan, wants from us to do. People lose their sense of worth in their lives, and then they treat others as unworthy and not to be accepted. This process becomes very destructive to our society. We see problems like today of drug abuse, alcoholism, and violence, for example. I have in my hand here a $100 bill. Nice, crisp $100 bill. How many of you would like to have this $100 bill? By show of hands. Well, pretty unanimous, right? Okay, let me do this. In case you didn't see that, I just crumpled it up. How many of you still would like this $100 bill? Okay, let me do this now. I'm gonna walk away here, so. For those who didn't see, I took this $100 bill, I crumpled it up, I stomped on it repeatedly, and threw it to the ground. How many of you would still like this $100 bill? Can somebody tell me why? Thank you. Bingo over here. She said this bill, this $100 bill, still has worth. She recognized, as others have, that it still has value. Nothing in what has happened to this bill, or where it's been, would change its value one bit. This is still a $100 bill. I can still take it to the bank. Cash it. To all of you who think you are worthless, to all of you who look in the mirror and the mirror says you're ugly, and to the world that says you are undesirable, none of that can influence you if you believe and know that you have immense worth. You see, it doesn't matter where you've been in your life, what others say about you, or that others may have stomped on you. You have immense worth because the one that has created you has said so. God says in Galatians 4:7, you are no longer a slave, but a son, and if a son, then an heir of God through Christ. What God has said here is that you are a member of a royal family. God also says in 1 Peter 2:9, you are a chosen generation, a royal priesthood, a holy nation. Ephesians 2 reminds us that through God's grace, we are saved, not by any works that we do. God's grace is a gift to us. We are so special to God that God says in Romans 8:19, for the earnest expectation of the creation eagerly waits for the revealing of the sons of God. So you see the hope that lies ahead of us, that in all of God's creation, There will become a time when man will finally enter into that family of God. God's love for us is unconditional. God loved us while we were still sinners. God sent Jesus Christ into the world that we may know the depth of God's love for us. There's two members of the God family, God the Father and God the Son. And God sent a God being to this world to die for us, to show how important we are to Him. We have value and we have worth to God. Sometimes we give our children the message that they are not worth a glass of spilt milk. They soon pick up that message and others about their worth to what's important to the parents and other adults. Like kids, we make mistakes. We learn from our mistakes and we grow from our mistakes. But we are not our mistakes. Like this $100 bill today that was crumpled, stomped on, and ground into the ground, we too will never lose our worth, our value to God, in spite of what we have done or where we've been. We are very precious in the sight of God. May we take God's unconditional love in our lives as an example and love others unconditionally. So what is your worth to God? You are priceless. Put that in your folder of self-worth.